But before we start, I wanted to just thank Todd, since I might not have another chance to thank him as a high school pastor for speaking. About 3 years ago, I said, "Hey, Todd, I want to speak when I go." "Okay." I'm like, "You don't want to check anything out?" He's like, no, you're good. So, Todd, thanks for giving me a chance to speak. I appreciate it. I love doing this. So, everybody clap for Todd, because he's really, really a good equipping pastor. I'm going to sit down some, if that's okay. Since the last time I spoke, I got old. I turned 40. So it made me start thinking about people in my life that have meant stuff, just memories. And it's like, it's going to tie it in with Jesus because, you know, eventually he tells us to do this in remembrance. So I remember my youth pastor. I went to a smaller church than this. There was about 40 in our entire group. And I don't remember a single lesson that he taught me. Not one. But I remember that he was there. I remember that he taught me how to pray. I remember that he taught me how to share my faith. And I remember that, like, he drove from, like, Lithia Springs to, like, Cartersville area. So it's like an hour drive to watch a wrestling tournament because he was there. I started thinking about my best friends growing up and how, like, I was the kid that they brought to church. Like, my parents didn't go. I didn't really grow up in church. But they said, "Hey, you want to go to church with me?" I'm like, "All right, I'm not doing anything else. Hey, if you spend the night with us, bring church clothes because we go to church on Sundays." And I remember looking at their parents and how they acted and was like, that's different than how my parents act. I want some of that. I remember I was a youth pastor and I met my wife and I proposed to her at a church. So at a post office, actually, at First Baptist Dallas, I proposed. I remember being up there, being able to baptize my daughter. So that was fun. And just all these memories came back. And then I started thinking about what is my favorite holiday? Since we're getting close to Easter, you would think I'm going to say Easter. And Easter is a very close second. I would imagine if we were Jewish and being the good old Paulding County people that we are, if we were celebrating Passover like we're going to talk about, that, I think we would do it a little bit like this. And I have a photo. So. I mean, right? Like, Israel are celebrating that they got their freedom from Egypt. And I'm just thinking, hey, we got our freedom from the UK, and we celebrate by we eat way too much barbecue, we have cookouts, we bring everybody together, and then we blow up a small part of America. I'm like, that's the closest thing I have to Passover as a American and our faith and all that I can come with. I mean, Easter, yeah, Jesus, he's on the cross. We'll talk about that next week, and it's important, but this is closer to what Passover is for us. They had a meal. They celebrated. They sang. That's pretty 4th of July-ish. So as we go through tonight, we're going to talk about what exactly was Passover. Where did it come from? How did it begin? What did Jesus and the disciples do? And then what do I need to do in 2024 that is similar to this? So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time that we get to dig into your word and that we get to learn just a little bit about what your last night looked like on earth. The things that you taught that were important to you that you wanted us to know. You want us to know it so much that you told us every time we do it to think about it and to remember you. Pray that we'd have open eyes, open ears, and open hearts so we can hear from you tonight. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Passover started in Exodus chapter 12. I'm not going to read all of Exodus chapter 12 because it was a lot, but here's the point, just in case you're new to Bible study and things like that. We have Moses. He's the... Is it echoing for y'all, or is it just me? Okay. As I say, it's ringing every time I say something. All right. So Moses, he's about to take the people out of Egypt. And he keeps going to Pharaoh and is like, "Hey, you know, you need to let us go. We have this land we need to go to." And Pharaoh's like, "Y'all are our slaves. You're going to stay here forever. I'm never going to let you go." So God sent some plagues. He made the Nile turn to blood. He made it be completely dark for a day. He made locusts come. He made all their livestock die. Just different things. Every time he did one, Moses would go back and go, "Hey, let us go so we can go worship our own people." And they're like, "Not a chance. Y'all are our people. Yeah, y'all just get back. So, Exodus 12, we get Jesus, or not Jesus, God is talking to Aaron and Moses. He gives them instructions. He says, hey, I want you to gather all the people, go find an animal that's a year or younger. Do I need to move back some? We good? Better? Okay. I'm going to say, this is driving me bananas, so I know it's bothering y'all. He said, go get an animal that's a year, divide it among the families, and it's like, if the family's too small, let them get a couple families together. But you're going to kill the animal, you're going to take the blood, you're going to put it over the doorpost, you're going to eat the animal, and then get ready to leave. And this is all paraphrased. But when Moses is telling the people, he gives instructions for how to take it. And he's like, make sure you're fully clothed, which I thought that was odd. Make sure you have your sandals on. So as much as Todd makes fun of me for my flip-flops, I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to. And then make sure you have your walking stick. He says, you're going to eat it and be ready to leave. So all the people, they gather up. At a certain time, they all killed their animals. They poured the blood in the basins. They took hyssop. They painted over their thing. And then they waited for dark when the angel of the Lord came over and killed all the firstborns. The Egyptians wake up. They're like, oh, all my firstborn, they're all dead. Leave, get out. So they grab all their stuff and they hightail it out. And this story is so important that three times in chapter 12 it says, this is going to be a yearly remembrance. This is the law of the land. Do this at the beginning of your year. And three times. So we take from that time all the way through Jesus' time. He would have done this every single year. They would have had a story. If y'all just go on Google and Google Seder meal, there's like 14 or 15 things that all points back to this story. But it's like everything from your bread is to be flat, so it's matzah bread, so it's, you know, like a little cracker, to what kind of food you're supposed to eat, that you're supposed to dip it in something, that you're supposed to wash your hands ceremonially between this time and this time. And like, they would have known all of this stuff. So when we get to Jesus' time in Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 7, it says, then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So apparently they had like 4 days to prepare it, and then like on this day they're going to sacrifice. So this is where we're picking up in the story. So Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go ahead and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat it. They said to him, where will you have us prepare it? He said to them, behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters and tell the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover of my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there. And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. So part of preparing the Passover was roasting the animal. It was getting like some horseradish, a bitter herb is what it says, and probably setting out all these plates. I couldn't re-find the picture, but there was a meme on Facebook about a week ago, and it's like, why didn't Jesus send women to prepare it? And like, they showed like the Lord's Supper table with like the one that we've all seen, and it's like 9 feet longer because there's like a million other things. But I thought it was funny, but I don't have it, so y'all don't think it's that funny. But he gets there, they have everything prepared, and then Jesus comes. I don't know what part of when they would wash hands that this next part takes them, but we have to flip over to John. And then John 13, we'll start in verse 3, but really 4 and 5. It says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God, he was going back to God. He rose up from supper, he laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that he had wrapped around him. So Jesus, Son of God, he's coming. He's like, you know what? I'm really excited to eat this, that I'm going to serve y'all. And went around and washed their feet. And the rest of the story is like Peter saying, no, you're not going to wash my feet. He's like, if you don't have any part of me, then all that, then wash. And he's like, no, only those that are dirty. You know, just read it for yourself, but he served them. This whole time, this is his last week, he's gathered his closest friend. He's excited to eat this meal with them that he served them. And then they ate the meal. Like I said, this was like 14 or 15 steps that they would go through. And he was excited to eat it. So Luke 24 or 22, 14 and 16. Said, and when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. One of the big things, you only got a recline if you were free. So like if you were a slave or servant, you didn't get a recline. So that Jesus is reclining and he says, I've earnestly wanted to eat this with y'all. And I think it's because of everything else that comes. The last part of what they did that night is, I don't know about y'all, but whenever my like extended family get together, it's not really a good time until somebody is crying from an argument. Am I the only one? Like, you just fight with your family? No? I have three honest people. The rest of y'all are in church. God knows. But they argued. And they argued about the silliest things. And in my Bible it says, who's the greatest? So this is just a few verses down in verse 21. It says, but behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they begin to question one another, which of them it would be who was going to do this. So he's talking about who's going to betray him. It says in verse 24, a dispute also arose among them as to which of them would be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, the king of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest and the leader as the one who serves. For who is the greater one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. So we get Jesus. He's telling the same story about the Passover, about Moses, and how the angel of the Lord spared them. And he goes through all this, and a fight breaks out. And he goes, hey guys, y'all are missing the point. You want to be the greatest in the kingdom? You want to be the leader of the pack? You want to be all that? Serve. Do exactly what I've done for y'all. So when he tells you, and he breaks the bread, and he says, do this in remembrance of me, here's the main question for tonight. When you take the Lord's Supper, what are you remembering? Next week, we'll talk about the last part of it, what we really need to remember with the cross. But this is in this meal, and he's saying, hey guys, I'm about to die. Please don't forget me. So here's just three takeaways that I get from this story. And this is what I try to think about whenever we do this. The first thing that I try to think about comes from Luke 22:13. And it says, and everything they found was exactly as he said. And I can think of, God, what have you told me that I'm still waiting on? What are some prayers that I've been praying and I'm waiting on you to answer? I think about the words that Jesus said. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I can take that and go, this is exactly what it's going to be. I can look at verses where he was the only one and he went and served. And you see that all through Jesus' life, that he served. He served the least of these. Let the children come to me. And he served. There's nobody too far away, too far gone, too lost that Jesus wouldn't go after. So when I do this, I'm like, what is the last thing I know that God told me to do? Am I doing that? The next thing is, who am I serving to be like Jesus? He took a towel and he wiped feet. I don't know about y'all, but feet are gross. Like, they are disgusting. They wore sandals. They walked around in mud. They were probably sweaty from walking, so they're like caked on mud. And I wouldn't be able to do it. I'd be like, no, like, you wash your own feet. Hey, Judas, you're about to betray me. You get over there and wash everybody's feet. But Jesus, he did it. So if Jesus is willing to serve, why am I not? Why is it when I look at my friends or my family and I think about, man, me first? Me first. I want it. I want it to be about me. Instead of, you know what? I'm here to serve you. How can I make your life better? How can you make your friends' lives better? How can you make your family's life better? How can you make your parents, your teachers, your coach, your boss one day? How can you serve them? You just see that all throughout the Bible of what Jesus did. And then the last thing, and I think this is the biggest one, is like that Judas ate too. And this, all the accounts of talking about who's going to betray him is like, oh, the one I dipped the bread with. Jesus knew he was about to be betrayed. In fact, in John, just a little verse down, he says, he's looking at him, he says, what you're going to do, go and do it quickly. And I couldn't imagine sitting there celebrating Passover, getting ready for everything that Jesus knew was about to come, knowing that this person right here is going to betray me. And it didn't matter to Jesus. He treated him just like one of the other 12. I would imagine if he wouldn't have went and hung himself, he would have restored Judas too, just like he did Peter, is what I think from what I read over the rest of the Bible. That he knew, and he served him anyway, and he loved him. So we're going to take some time before we celebrate and observe communion for y'all to have space. What sin is separating you from Jesus? I always make the assumption that if you're coming to church on a Sunday night, that you've at least accepted Christ. I know it's a dangerous assumption, but that's the one I make. But we all have something that's hindering us. Maybe what are you waiting on for God to show up with? That's exactly as he's going to tell you. That you've prayed about it, you've got your answer, you can read it in God's word, and you know this is what's coming. Who has God laid on your heart to serve? Or who do you need to forgive? So we'll take a little bit of time. The stairs are open. If you need to kneel and pray at your seat, that's fine too. And then we'll wrap up by observing communion.